And we're back here at the Life Read Zone. This is Tom Cryer, and we're talking about all kinds of stuff today. I thought we were going to talk today about some abuses from the IRS, and I figured there'd be plenty of those stories running around, but we're actually learning a few things, and that's a good thing, too. We're exploring some possibilities. Now, if you have possibilities, or if you have questions or comment or an experience that you would like to tell us about, you can call us at 800-313-9443. Now, when we left off at the break, we were talking with Henry in Connecticut. And, Henry, we kind of cut you short there.
Yeah, well.
And didn't give you a chance to finish up what you had to say. So, what you got for us?
Yeah, hello? Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you just fine.
Yeah. That's right. It says no state can pay debt other than gold and silver coin. But see, here's the thing. I have a question, two questions. One is this. How do you pay a debt with a note, N-O-T-E, because a note actually is a promissory note or like a form of debt. So how do you pay a debt with a debt?
Well, I'll give you a good example.
Yeah.
You borrow $20 from me. You're my next-door neighbor, and you need to go get some stuff that you didn't make it to the bank before they closed. And I front you $20, okay?
Okay.
Now, I need to get my grass cut.
Okay.
And I tell you, hey, you know, you've got the $20, you know, that you owe me. I need to get my grass cut. The yard boy's coming here in the morning. And you tell me, give him a note to come by tomorrow morning after he cuts your grass, and I'll pay him for you. And that'll square us up on the $20.
Uh-huh.
All right. What basically I do is, in effect, I give him an IOU. It comes from you, and then he brings it to you, and you pay it off. Now, that's a real primitive, it's a real simple explanation, but what basically you're doing is you are trading IOUs back and forth.
Uh-huh.
And there's supposed to be somebody behind that, and I know that, you know, now I've got problems with the currency situation. I don't tie it to the tax, because as long as it's a medium of exchange and it's recognized and accepted as legal tender for payment of debts or for purchases, then, you know, I really don't see a problem there yet. Now, I'm going to dig into the comments that we had earlier, and we'll see, but, you know, as it stands now, I see that it more as a medium of exchange. But you do pay debts with debts, and you can satisfy a debt by giving a note, which is evidence of a debt. Now, when that $20 bill is in your pocket, mm-hmm. the government owes you $20, right?
Right.
All right, when you give it to me and it owes me $20, it doesn't owe you $20 anymore. So you've, in effect, transferred that debt from you to me.
Yeah, right.
Does that make sense?
Yes, it does, except the only thing is this, though. That money we have is not even real money. It's worthless.
I understand that, and I have problems with that from a currency standpoint.
Yeah.
Not only have I got problems with it from a currency standpoint, I've got serious problems with it from an economical standpoint. Because if money doesn't have any meaning, then its only value is based upon how much of it is in circulation. And that's dangerous. And we'll come back after the break. Give us a call at 800
313-9443. In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, for nation shall rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places. Fellow Americans, we are living in this time of Earth's history. People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs. DVDs for your information. It discusses America in Prophecy, the Antichrist, Tyrants and Wars, Secret Societies, the New World Order, and much more. These materials document the global leaders, political and religious working behind the scenes, and their plans for us. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F, 1-888-211-1715. Again, 1-888-211-1715.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
There is one and only one national populist news weekly, staffed by an unsurpassed team of veteran investigative journalists who have dared to rip the veil of deception from the cover-up stories promoted by the big money-controlled media monopoly.
American Free Press.
AFP's no-holds-barred journalists fearlessly seek the truth, no matter how controversial the issue. AFP publishes exciting, in-depth, uncensored news and information good patriotic Americans need to know to combat the coming police state being clamped in our republic. The American Free Press is your voice. Subscribe today and catch up on the real news. Mention RBN when you call and receive a one-year subscription plus a copy of Michael Collins Piper's latest bestseller, The High Priests of War. All that for just $49? Call AFP toll-free, 888-699-NEWS, or visit AmericanFreePress.net.
Come on, Bill. 2 weeks ago, you were riding the bicycle, and today you're showing up in your new car and telling me you're buying a house? What did you do, rob Bill Gates?
No, John, I didn't rob Bill Gates. What I did do is visit the website www.didyourobbillgates.com. That's where I learned how to make $3,000 to $9,000 each and every week, starting with my very first week. It's a simple program that does all the work for you. I'm already up to $25,000 just going on my third week.
Whoa. What was that website again?
It's www.didyourobbillgates.com. Now write this down, John. You should go there and learn how this program can help you become financially independent, too.
Thanks, Bill.
I'm going there right now. Check, please.
You got this one, right, Bill?
Sure, John. Don't forget, it's www.didyourobbillgates.com. Next time, you'll be buying me lunch.
Deal.
And welcome back to the Life Free Zone. This is Tom Cryer. This is the place where the government isn't allowed to lie because we are allowed to tell the truth. Caller just a while ago brought up questions about currency. There are a whole lot of issues with the federal government, and my primary argument with them right now, although I disagree with much of what is going on, including the currency and the way that they're handling with Federal Reserve, but my primary battle and struggle with them right now is over they're using the income tax to take money that they're not allowed under the Constitution to take. Now, if you want to know a little bit more about this, you can go to my website. It's lifefreezone.com. You can get the memorandum that spells it all out. There's other information on that website about why this is important and what difference that money makes to your freedom, not to your pocketbook alone, but to your freedom, and the difference that that money makes to the economy of your community and the quality of life of your, in your community and for your family. So go to lifefreezone.com and pull down, you know, ask for that memorandum, or hopefully, contribute to the cost of this defense. We're not there yet, and my trial is on April 9th. That's not very far off. We've got a lot to do between now and then. So if there's anything that you can do to help us on that fund, then by all means do so. But you can get a lot of information there about why this is important. You can also request a memorandum, which will tell you about it. And the information that we're getting here, for example, questions brought up about the tax with the federal indebtedness as being exempt from taxation and whatnot. Any time that you run afoul or you break one part of the Constitution, you're going to run afoul in a lot of other places as well.
Yeah, yeah.
Hello?
Hello? Hello?
Who we got?
Hello?
Hello?
Yeah.
Who we got? Yeah. What?
Hello?
Is Henry, you still there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Oh, okay. Well, I thought that you were gone.
No. The one final thing you mentioned about the stuff with the currency. What I was also going to say is this: the United States Supreme Court defined income as corporate profit. I'm sure you may be familiar with that.
I'm familiar with the language in the case where that was said, where it said it has to do with corporate profit, and then it went on to define it as gain from capital or from labor or from capital and labor combined. But initially, the intent was, of course, I believe, that the gain that they were talking about with income was a corporation. Now, I understand this. A corporation can have income. But a corporation is a person. And under the law, a corporation is a person just like you and me. And it can have income because it can emulate what you and I could do by legal fiction.
Yeah, but
and
we're
so
not a
we
corporate.
Too, you and I can have income. You and I could have income. We could do things that generate a profit. We can do everything a corporation can do, except live forever.
Yeah, but how could one person be a corporation? I always thought corporation.
Well, you see, one person isn't a corporation, but we could engage in the same activities. Now, part of what you're talking about has to do with the scope of an excise tax.
Okay.
An excise tax, taxes or can tax, the exercise of corporate privileges. Okay? Just by being a corporation and enjoying existence by virtue of the law and enjoying living in perpetuity, and of being able to own property even though you were never born, those privileges are subject to taxation under an excise. But those aren't the only activities that are subject to an excise tax. Also subject to an excise tax are the manufacturer's sale and consumption of goods. When you buy a tank of gasoline, you know, some 40 cents of that goes to the federal government.
Right. Yeah, but that's lawful constitutional tax.
That's a lawful constitutional tax because it's
same
taxing,
as on firearms. And
it's taxing your consumption
right.
of gasoline.
Right.
All right. But now where the problem comes in, or if you were to buy a piece of land in order to hold it and sell it a year later at a profit.
Yeah,
and you did that. That's income, okay? And that's something that they very likely could tax. That's the type thing a corporation can do, and you can do it too. What a corporation cannot do, and that is labor. A corporation can't sweat.
Right.
A corporation can't invest its life into something because its lifetime is unlimited. The only thing that can kill a corporation is a dissolution, either because of financial ruin or whatever. But it continues to exist. Whereas you and I, Henry, we're living for a certain number of years. That's it. And we don't know how many that is. And of those years, we can only work for so many.
Right.
You know, we can't work when we're 3 years old, and we probably won't be able to work when we're 90 if we're still alive.
Right.
So our work life is even less than our lifespan.
That's true.
And every time that you put in a year for a year's salary, you're giving up some of your human capital. Now, how much of that salary is represented in that? How much of that salary represents what you gave up to get it?
Hmm.
All right.
Yeah.
Some of it, maybe all of it, huh?
Yeah,
you probably gave every bit as much as you got paid for.
Yeah, right.
All right. Well,
unless you got your own business on.
Well, let's assume that you were really lazy and you had a boss that was stupid enough to pay you 10 times what you're worth. Okay. Let's say that you didn't lift a finger. All you did was put in some time, and so that only 10%.
There's a lot of jobs like that. I mean, they're fine with me. It doesn't bother me at all. I don't think it has to be hard. I don't think it has to be easy. It depends on what your time or what the purpose is,
well,
or whatever
right.
the goal is.
But that's right. But even the easiest job that requires the least amount of skill, the guy still has to put something into it to get a check at the end of the week.
Whatever it is, whatever the project.
So he's putting in his energy. He's putting in his time, and he's giving up a week he can never get back.
Right.
Or a year or a month, depending on how he's paid.
Right.
Now, let's just assume, though, that it's so easy that he's paid 10 times what he puts in.
Right.
Now, that means that for a dollar of wage, he's only invested 10 cents, 90 cents of that's profit. How do you tax that whole dollar without taxing his 10 cents?
Yeah, that's true.
So if you're taxing his 10 cents, what are you taxing? You're taxing his property.
Right.
You're taxing his human capital. Supreme Court's held that that's property. It's your property. As a matter of fact, they say it's your most sacred and inviolate property. They rank it above your home. And yet, that makes it not taxable by an excise, because an excise tax can only tax an activity that you can walk away from, something that you can say, okay, I'm not going to smoke cigarettes, or I'm not going to drive a car, I'm going to get a bicycle, and I'm not going to pay gasoline tax because I choose not to use gasoline. That's an excise. It has to be avoidable. It has to be voluntary because you made the decision to consume those goods. Or made the decision to form a corporation. Do what?
No. Though what you're saying about the excise tax, you're right. And if you decide to buy it or you don't, so that shouldn't be equated the same as,
as a property tax that is mandatory.
Property tax, right, yeah.
Yeah, if they let's say they did an excise on breathing, could you stop breathing?
No, that's right.
Then that's not something that would be an excise tax because it's not voluntary on your part. It's not something from which you can abstain. That would be a tax on your person. So you have to look at a tax that way. I mean, if it doesn't qualify as an excise tax, then the government can't tax it directly to you.
That's true.
They have to. They could tax it. They could tax your toes, all 10 of them. Okay?
Right.
But they couldn't send you a toe tax bill. They would have to count up all the toes, figure up what the tax came to, and then divide that total up among each of the states according to population, and then send the bill not to you. They have to send the bill to the state, and then the state decides how to pay the toll tax. Now, who do you want figuring out where to get money from you? You want a guy in Washington, D.C. that has never heard of you and doesn't know even know the town you live in? Or do you want the guy who lives down the street and serves on your state legislature that you can call on the phone or that you can run into at church? Who would you rather be making those decisions? Somebody that knows what you want or somebody who doesn't?
Right. Yeah, I see what you're saying.
Does it make sense?
Yeah, it does. But the other thing I was going to say with this, with the income tax, there really is no real income tax because the money is worthless. The only purpose of the income tax, like what William Cooper said, is to keep us from ending up like in my grandmother's day, in Germany. That's the only, with the paper money.
You
need about $60 to buy a loaf of bread.
Right.
You see, if it wasn't for the income tax, we already are floating in paper because they got rid of M3 last year in March, around this time, around St. Paddy's Day. I think it was a little earlier, last year. So if we don't have the income tax, I mean, we should not have the income tax. If everybody, millions of people get out of it, they should, period. Oh, all right, one other thing. What do you do with somebody who doesn't have the web to get that referendum, or what is that thing you mentioned?
Well, I don't have any way to get to you on that, but tell you what, I'll announce an address here in a little bit, so listen up, and I'll give you an address in just a little short while.
Hey, America, how does it feel to be flushed down the toilet of political intrigue and treachery into the sewer of slavery and bondage, where perverts and the godless write the rules? Our unborn children are murdered, our esteemed elders are euthanized, and everyone in between is numbered and tracked like criminals so they can be farmed by government, credit, healthcare organizations, like the chicken farmer farms his chickens. Have you had enough? Is it time to declare your liberty? It's your choice, you know. The only place to begin to declare your independence is to have enough food stored so that you never have to go stand in a bread line to give away the rest of your life or sell your children for a bowl of rice and a slice of bread. Call 800-409-5633. On the web, efoodsdirect.com. 800-409-5633. People who use Cartivite know about the pollutants in our body and want them out. For over 5 years, Cartivite has proven itself time-tested. Here's Dr. Mattson, a naturopathic doctor's thoughts on Cartivite.
In our mind, there isn't such a great big mystery to disease anymore. This basic tenet of yeast in the gut and metals in the liver covers at least 70-80% of the diseases that we see. When we do our program, you know, herbal formulas like Cartivite, and you see someone who could barely walk up a hill now going for regular jogs, 2 months later, we know we're doing something right. It's a well-thought-out formula. I mean, the idea of it working on yeast and metals both at the same time and liver function is dead on. You'll find, I think, that it'll work more than just on heart problems and circulation problems. It'll work on other problems as well.
For more information, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit our Cartivite link at rbnlive.com. That toll-free number again, 1-877-928-8822.
We've all considered solar power at one time or another, and self-sufficiency will be your key to a better future. Ken Solar can help you get off the grid and become self-sufficient with solar power, and for a lot less than you would think. One of Ken's most popular items right now is the new solar power generator, for a lot less than you'd expect. This portable system can chop off nearly a third of your electric bill, a good start for any families out there wanting to get solar power for your home. Visit Ken's website at kensolar.com for free downloads, free videos, and how-tos, and of course, the new solar power generator. Use the coupon code RBN with your purchase and save an additional 10% off your order. Get a solar power generator now from kensolar.com at 239-677-3073. Again, that's 239-677-3073 or on the web at kensolar.com. Ken Solar, the home of all your solar needs.
And we're back up and running here at the Live Free Zone. Appreciate the calls. If you've got something to call about or you've got something to say or contribute, you can do that. You can get on the show here with us and we'll chew the fat. Just give me a call at 800-313-9443. Now, our last caller, Henry, had asked how to contact me in order to get a copy of the memorandum if you're not on the web. For Henry and any others in that particular situation, you can send me a letter at 4348. That's 4348 Urie, Youree Drive. That's Urie, Youree Drive, Shreveport, Shreveport, one word, Louisiana. And the zip is 71105. Just drop me a note, postcard, whatever, and say, you know, please send me your memo, and I'll send you one. But other than that, you can also get it a lot quicker and easier just going to livefreezone.com. Ask for it, or even better, go down to help, punch that help button, and make a contribution to the self-defense fund, because we're not just defending, we're prosecuting. Right now, it's a question as to who's got whom right now, because what I'm doing is I'm telling the court and the prosecutor, show me the law. This isn't playing around on the corner anymore and just saying I'm not going to talk to you or I'm going to make you pay 20 questions. All right? So that'll only get, if you need to get it by hard mail, just give me a note at that address and I'll send you the memorandum. I believe we got Dave in Arkansas is with us this afternoon. How you doing, Dave?
Real fine, Tom. I spoke to you last Saturday. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay, let's cut straight to the chase here.
All right, cut in.
Title 26, subtitle F, Chapter 63, Subchapter A, Section 6201, Assessment Authority. A, authority of secretary. Is authorized and required to make inquiries, so on, so on, so on. I'm on the Cornell website, cornell.edu.
Yeah, Cornell, I've used that myself. It's good, yeah.
Okay, now, here's where the big lie lies. On the right sidebar, click Parallel Regulations.
Right.
CFR parts for which 26 U.S. Code 6201 provides authority.
Right.
Provides rulemaking authority.
That's right.
And the only part listed is 27 CFR Part 70. Okay? And let's click on that. And what do we find? Alcohol, tobacco products, and firearms. That's it.
Well, you see, you've hit on something as far as the assessments are concerned. These are issues over whether the secretary can assess, okay? Now, with an income tax, that's a self-assessing tax. As a matter of fact, I'll take you one step further. Since we're cutting to the chase, let's just chase on a little deeper, okay?
Okay.
All right. Go back to 6020, and that deals with substitute returns. Dig that up and see what they can issue a substitute return for.
No, they cannot.
Not for a 1040, can they?
No.
Are you there?
Under penalty of perjury, I don't think so.
Because
they are also subject to Section 6065.
That's right. And but try getting them to sign something under penalty of perjury.
But here again, there is no federal income tax liability until the tax has been assessed.
That's right. And a tax assessment, though, they cannot, they are not permitted to issue an assessment without. Now, the only other way they could do that would be to file a suit against you.
Well, 6202 is establishment by regulations of mode or time of assessment. Okay, let's go right to the next one. This
okay.
is the one that they use, method of assessment under 6203. The assessment shall be made by recording the liability of the taxpayer in the office of the secretary in accordance with rules or regulations prescribed by the secretary. Upon request of the taxpayer, the secretary shall furnish the taxpayer a copy of the record of the assessment. Okay,
mm-hmm.
Let's click Parallel Regulations. Same thing, 27 CFR, Part 70.
All right, again, you're talking about an initial assessment, and you're absolutely right, Dave. You're absolutely right. The process for an income tax for the 1040, if you have an alcohol tax, tobacco tax that you owe, they can issue an assessment on that. They can file what they call a substitute for return.
Well, that's
that substitute for return forms the basis for an assessment, and they can do that, but they can't do it for an income tax.
But
and
okay,
you're right.
That's what we're talking about. We're not talking about. Excise taxable privileged occupations or activities.
Well, yeah, whenever you're talking about alcohol and tobacco, yes, you certainly are in firearms. You're talking about alcohol and tobacco anyway. I don't think the firearms are privileged. I think you're right.
But that's okay, but that comes under subtitle E. Okay, what we're talking about is subtitle A, income tax.
That's right.
Imposed on the common ordinary so-called
people. No, you're absolutely right on the assessment issue. Now, the question is, it's on the liability issue. Now, assessment and liability are two different issues. And we may even talk about that a little bit after the break.
Tom, I'd like to send you a 25-page report with case citations.
Well, you can do that on my website, Live Free Zone. Just click Contact Mr. Cryer and send it on.
Well, I bet your snail mail.
Oh, okay. Well, you got my snail mail now. And just send that on to me. I'll be glad to look at it. And thank you, Dave. I appreciate his great call. Next up is going to be David.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, for nation shall rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places. Fellow Americans, we are living in this time of Earth's history. People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs for your information. It discusses America in Prophecy, the Antichrist, Tyrants and Wars, Secret Societies, the New World Order, and much more. These materials document the global leaders, political and religious working behind the scenes, and their plans for us. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F, 1-888-211-1715. Again, 1-888-211-1715.
There is one and only one national populist news weekly, staffed by an unsurpassed team of veteran investigative journalists who have dared to rip the veil of deception from the cover-up stories promoted by the big money-controlled media monopoly.
American Free Press.
AFP's no-holds-barred journalists fearlessly seek the truth, no matter how controversial the issue. AFP publishes exciting, in-depth, uncensored news and information good patriotic Americans need to know to combat the coming police state being clamped in our republic. The American Free Press is your voice. Subscribe today and catch up on the real news. Mention RBN when you call and receive a one-year subscription, plus a copy of Michael Collins Piper's latest bestseller, The High Priests of War. All that for just $49. Call AFP toll-free, 888-699-NEWS, or visit AmericanFreePress.net.
It's true. Gold and silver have been a source of true wealth for years. In fact, people around the world have used these metals to buy and sell goods for over 5,000 years. And gold and silver will continue to be a source of true wealth for the foreseeable future. If you look back in history, you'll see that all fiat currencies have failed to maintain wealth or failed altogether. But gold has always protected its holder, a true asset, usable to anyone around the globe. As the value of your Federal Reserve note continues to depreciate, gold will be your only insurance. As an example, in 1975, you could buy a $40,000 home with 1,000 gold coins. Today, that same house is $400,000, yet you can still buy it with 1,000 gold coins. To find out more information on how to protect your wealth, call Republic Trading at 1-800-691-7898. That's 1-800-691-7898.
And welcome back to the Live Free Zone. We've been really lucky today. We've gotten in some really neat information, and some of it may be valid, and I'll let you know more about that later, and some of it is valid. We do know. Dave called a little while ago and told us about the assessment issue. And that's true. When you file a tax return, a 1040, you have assessed yourself with a tax. It's a self-assessing tax. And that's why they call it a voluntary tax. But you assess yourself with income tax. And that's why earlier on a caller pointed out that the tax is only on taxable income. And that's why when the government does get caught on this, when we do get them cornered to the point where they've got to admit the big lie, they're going to come back and say, look, all we told you we're taxing is your taxable income. Now, if you put more than that on your tax return and you decided to pay more than you owed, that's your problem, not my problem. I didn't do that to you. I told you that you had some property and some income that's exempt. I told you that some receipts aren't income, and yet you put them all down, and now you're wanting to blame me? Now, that's the position that's going to happen. But the assessment is done by yourself. You have to assess your own income tax. And that 1040 does it. And now once you've done it, if you issue in and you put this number in and you say, this is how much I owe, here's a check, then once you've done that, then they are free then to go into the examination process and pull up records and say, no, you didn't include everything you're supposed to. Your number is really this. But until you file that return, there is no assessment, and they cannot come in and file a substitute for return on a 1040. and it's not authorized by the law, and the assessment process doesn't authorize them to assess anything other than those items that are covered by the law under the assessment provisions that Dave was talking about. Now, but that was a good point, and I did want to clarify that about the difference between assessments on an income tax and assessments on other taxes. I believe we've got a caller here from California. We've got David. Are you there, David?
Yes, I am. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, I hear you fine.
Okay, great. I've studied this issue for many years, and I've discovered, and so have many other people who are sitting in prison, discovered that arguing the code is more or less useless because the IRS is simply a criminal extortion and racketeering operation. I heard your discussion a while ago about the Federal Reserve notes, and of course that's totally unlawful as well because it's usury. The fiat currency usury is strictly prohibited by our Constitution. You know, arguing tax code in a tax liability or assessment case is like arguing the Constitution in an admiralty jurisdiction. You might as well be, screaming at the wind because you don't have any standing. Many people are successfully winning cases against the IRS recently by using the OMB registration numbers on these documents.
Well, I know of one such case. As a matter of fact, I met Mr. Lawrence this last weekend at a conference in California. Super, super individual, very high energy. He's enthusiastic. He's behind this. He wants the truth out, too, and he's working, and he's putting it on the line. I mean, he's risked everything, just as I have. And the government backed off at the last minute over this, what we believe is the PRA, Paperwork Reduction Act, and the OMB number you're talking about. But I don't know that we've had very many successes with that. There have been no successes up until that one. But that's one of the approaches. But the problem with that is, David, that it doesn't get the truth out. It merely stops them from going after that one guy.
Well, another method of challenging these criminals is the redemption process if it's done correctly. You understand that a Social Security application is an adhesion contract. It's actually constructive fraud, and this all falls under the 14th Amendment, where you become a subject under the 14th Amendment rather than a citizen. And you can't argue any constitutional issue if you're under a federal contract, which the Social Security number represents.
I've got to disagree with you on that. I think that whether you're under a contract with the government or not, you always have your constitutional rights. Now, whether the contract waived some of those rights or granted authority above, that's a question for the contract itself. But you do not, just by virtue of being a party to a contract, waive your constitutional rights, and you don't necessarily exclude yourself from any remedy that you've got under law and under the Constitution.
Well, the Social Security process, the issuance of the number is all based on constructive fraud, which is a felony. That's a crime.
Well, I think
threat, duress, and coercion is also against the law, and this is the method that is used without full disclosure. The Uniform Commercial Code can be very useful in suing federal agents or processing UCC liens against agents that come against you.
You know, the law always allows for multiple opinions and multiple interpretations and approaches. Otherwise, lawyers would starve because there'd be nothing to argue about. But I have looked at these ideas and notions concerning the UCC and this Social Security adhesory contract approach, and I can't place much weight in those, and I would hate to see you rely on that to your detriment. But I do believe, and I have thoroughly researched the areas that are set out in the memorandum that I filed this motion on. Now, I have never seen the government raise as a defense against a defense or as a bar to a defense that the defendant entered into a contract and said that we could steal from him. They've never raised those issues in any of these cases where the guy contended that he wasn't required to file. If they don't raise it, it's not an issue. But in this particular instance, what you're talking about, the difference is that in this instance, like in my case, we've raised the issue not as a fact of whether I believe that I wasn't required to file, which is the difficult way of approaching that, because you can't try law to a jury. We've raised it before the trial with the court. We've made it a legal issue in the case. And so now this issue is on the table for the first time, and it's time. It's way past time for those issues to be on there. But be careful, right. Be careful, David, looking at some of these, this UCC business and these adhesory contract approaches. And I know that there are folks that are selling this stuff out there, and they're making money selling this stuff out there. I just warn you that I've looked at that, and I don't think it's entitled to any weight at all. I think it's not related at all to whether or not Congress can tax your wages or your personal earnings.
Well, private property cannot be taxed, and compensation for service or labor is not income. Clearly, it's property.
That's right. By the same token, property can be taxed. We just talked a little while ago about the fact that the federal government can tax your toes. It can tax anything. But when it taxes property, it can't send the bill to you.
Well, under constructive fraud laws, they cannot do that unless you enter into the agreement willfully, knowingly, and intentionally.
No, I'm sorry. You have to get away from all those. Don't eat that, Elmer. This business about adhesory contracts, and they've got you bound, and you can't get away from it, so you can't raise a point because you're now subject to a contract instead of a citizen. Take that stuff and flush it, please. You're going to hurt yourself with it. What you got to do is look at the substance of it. They can tax your property, but they have to do it directly to the states, not to you. They cannot tax you directly. They can't tax your property and send you the bill.
Are you speaking under the apportionment rule?
Yes. Yes. You see, if they tax property, it's a direct tax, David. If they tax property, that makes it a direct tax. And a direct tax can only be imposed through apportionment to the states. They can't. In other words, the founding fathers knew what they were doing. And they set it up so that the federal government could not impose anything, either a regulation or a tax on you and me, without going through the state.
Well, this was the reason why they had to force the 16th Amendment down our throats, even though it wasn't ratified by any of the states. And Bill Benson proved that in his book, The Law That Never Was.
Well, I think that there are serious questions about the ratification, but the problem with that is, and I want to be frank with you, I was under the same impression you are, the 16th Amendment authorized the income tax. That's what I've been told.
I never studied
tax law, and I never studied taxes coming through. I had no interest in that. I didn't. That's the last thing in the world I wanted to spend time digging through was tax laws. And so I avoided them. Do what?
Red Beckman and Bill Benson proved that the 16th Amendment was never ratified by any state in a proper manner.
Here's your problem with the 16th Amendment. Is that the 16th Amendment had absolutely no effect as far as in allowing the Congress to tax income. Congress has always had the power to tax income. The only thing that the 16th Amendment did, and I was surprised to learn this now, I'm as surprised as you are here now to hear probably, but the 16th Amendment did not authorize the income tax.
Congress never had the power to tax private property. Congress only had the power to impose a tax on corporate profit.
Right. That's right. Now, you've mixed two issues together. One issue, not corporate profit, but on profit, and on other activities like the manufacturer. The first tax they issued, that it was on carriages, the use of carriages. Now, that's not corporate profits, but it was a valid tax. It was on the consumption, the using up of carriages. All right.
Interstate commerce.
It was avoidable. you could walk or you could ride a horse or you was an avoidable activity that was taxed that you didn't have to engage in.
Congress only has power over interstate commerce.
No, Congress has many other powers, David. Look at Article 1, Section 8, and it lists a number of powers that Congress has. And one of those powers that Congress has is in the very first clause of Section 8. And it says Congress shall have the power to lay taxes, excises, duties, and imposts. Now, your excise tax. Now, you're breaking up on me. I'm having a little trouble hearing you.
Well, I said that has nothing to do with private property. Congress does not have the power to tax private property.
Now, you're talking about a completely different issue. Income cannot include the property, your property. Okay, that's why wages can't be taxed. It's because you can't separate the labor that you put in to get it from the profit, if any. You can't determine whether the property is, but you can't tax 100% of wages without taxing the property that was invested to get it.
The key word there is derived. Income derived from a principal. Compensation for service or labor is not derived from the source.
Okay,
it is direct compensation.
Let me give you an example.
That's how you make the distinction between property and income. Income is a corporate gain, any kind of a gain obtained through investment, any kind of direct compensation for service or labor is private property and cannot be taxed under any circumstances.
Well, I agree with your conclusion, but not the reasons for it. But so let's talk about that. You got, let's suppose I hire you and I pay you $50. To go over and unplug Mrs. Havisham's drain. Okay?
All right.
I give you $50. You go over there, you unplug her drain, and I send Mrs. Havisham a bill for $100. She pays me the $100. Now, I was just compensated $100 for services. That's income.
That's not income. That's property.
No. I was compensated. I didn't unplug her drain. I paid.
Did you make an? Only way it can be derived from the source is by investment.
My
capital gain. Capital gain on investment.
My investment was $50, and I made $100 out of that. Now how much income was derived? How much income did I derive out of those services? I derive $50 profit, right?
Well, that's a stretch of the imagination.
No, it isn't. That's done every day.
That is not a statute corporation profit. There's a big distinction between compensation for labor and a statute corporation.
But this wasn't compensation for my labor. It was compensation for yours, and I made a profit
It is still property, whether it's your property or the man who actually fixed the pipe.
But you can say that about anything.
There was no monetary investment and capital gain involved in that.
Sure, I invested $50.
You're misconstruing the whole spirit and intent.
No, I'm telling you exactly what it is.
A direct reading of the Constitution prohibits any taxation that is not completely voluntary.
Now you're bringing in, we're folding in a third issue. There are six in this memorandum that I've been telling you about. There are six key issues as to why the tax folds up. But you need to kind of keep them separate to understand them very well. And I know it's not easy.
Very well. I think you have your facts mixed up. I don't think you've studied the Constitution very well.
Well, we'll have to agree to disagree on that one. We'll just have to agree to disagree on that one. But I don't think we're limited to corporate profits. I think they're entitled to tax certain activities, but one of them is not labor. Labor, compensation for your labor, your personal earnings, that is not taxable by the federal government. and it's not taxable for the federal by the federal government because of everything that you brought up. The fact that it's your property, for one. You there? Yes, we've lost David. The point is on this is that there are a number of reasons, and it's difficult. It's not an easy thing. But when you break it out and you take it one bite at a time, it's just like eating an elephant. You can eat an elephant as long as you do it one bite at a time. Now, if you said, but you have to keep the issue of property and labor separate from the issue of the fundamental right to earn a living. And we're going to have a short break. We'll be back just a minute at the Live Free Zone. We'll wrap this thing up.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. For nation shall rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places. Fellow Americans, we are living in this time of Earth's history. People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom. But without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs for your information. It discusses America in Prophecy, the Antichrist, Tyrants and Wars, Secret Societies, the New World Order, and much more. These materials document the global leaders, political and religious working behind the scenes and their plans for us. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F, 1-888-211-1715. Again, 1-888-211-1715.
Attention, this is an RBN Financial News Bulletin. Have you ever wanted to get out of debt, maybe even make some of your debts disappear completely? If so, and you're an RBN listener, there is a very real chance you will be able to do it. Here is why. A new manual has just been published that reveals how you can get out of debt in 90 minutes without any loans or bankruptcy whatsoever. The insider secrets revealed allow you to get out of debt so fast and so completely that it makes some people feel like they're stealing, but they're not stealing. The secrets taught in the manual are 100% legal and 100% ethical. It's just that bankers, debt collectors, and credit card companies don't want you to know about these loopholes. Don't be a prisoner of debt. Go to outin90.com. That's www.outin90.com or call 877-327-0365. RBN listeners receive a free DVD with purchase.
Come on, Bill. 2 weeks ago, you were riding a bicycle, and today you're showing up in your new car and telling me you're buying a house? What did you do, rob Bill Gates?
No, John, I didn't rob Bill Gates. What I did do is visit the website www.didyourobbillgates.com. That's where I learned how to make $3,000 to $9,000 each and every week, starting with my very first week. It's a simple program that does all the work for you. I'm already up to $25,000 just going on my third week.
Whoa. What was that website again?
It's www.didyourobbillgates.com. Now write this down, John. You should go there and learn how this program can help you become financially independent, too.
Thanks, Bill. I'm going there right now.
Check, please.
You got this one, right, Bill?
Sure, John. Don't forget, it's www.didyourobbillgates.com. Next time, you'll be buying me lunch.
Deal.
And we're back here at the Live Free Zone. This is Tom Cryer. I've been a bad peasant. I sassed the government. And we're talking about the IRS, and I thought today we were going to talk about IRS abuses, and but that's okay. We talked about some good stuff. We've covered some questions about the monetary and the currency issues under the Constitution. We talked about the limited power of the IRS to assess, and the fact that when you file an income tax return, you have assessed yourself, that they cannot assess you, so you assess yourself. And but once you have assessed yourself, then they can change your numbers. But we also talked to a couple of guys regarding the limits of Congress. Now, there are constitutional limits on what Congress can do, and there are specific limits on what they can tax and how they can tax it. You know, courts have said, and others have said, that Congress can tax anything, and they can. But how they tax it is limited, very limited, by the Constitution. And the reason that the Founding Fathers did that was to keep the federal government on a 1,500-calorie diet so it could now grow its riches. Now, by getting the income tax and then convincing people that it applied to them when it didn't, that brought in money they weren't constitutionally intended to be able to get. And as a result, that allowed them to break loose from the Constitution in a lot of other regards. And that's why this is so important. The question on why they cannot begs an answer. And why, you know, we can't get an answer to the question, show me the law that makes me liable, and show me the law that taxes my earnings, is a big mystery, because if it was there, they could have told you, they just showed you. It isn't there. Look into this. Read up on it. And the best I know of to get you a really good squared up understanding of these issues is to pull up and get hold of the memorandum we've been talking about. You can get that at the Live Free Zone. If you make a contribution, I'll send it to you. If you don't want to make a contribution, email me. That's fine. I'll give it to you. It's not for sale, but it is for distribution. And you get it and give it to your neighbors. Give it to your friends. Get that movie, Aaron Russo's Freedom from Fascism. You can get it right here on Republic Broadcasting Network at republicbroadcasting.org, and you can pick that up at from Aaron Russo himself at $19.95 plus $4.95 shipping. It's worth 1,000 times that, because it tells the truth, and the truth is getting to be a real rare commodity these days. With those two instruments, with the movie on the one hand, it proves the government is lying to us. And the memorandum, on the other hand, it proves the truth that they're lying about what they are lying about. You will understand, and when you can understand, then you can explain to others. And it's only through getting the word out to the general public, because the media isn't going to help us with this. They're scared to death. The mainstream media is scared to they're petrified of the federal government. USA Today turned down over $500,000 for an ad putting out some, just a piece of this truth a few years ago. Now, whenever you've got a company that's in the business of making money that turns money down, that's fear. That's fear. And when the government is telling people, I don't want you to talk, I don't want you to write, I don't want you to give people information, and the court's ordering people to shut up, and they're burning their books, and they're burning their tapes, they're closing their websites, and they're threatening their members and their email lists, you know there's something to hide. And we'll talk more about this on the next Live Free Zone next week.